Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter.
Jersey Shore, and we've got a very special episode tonight. We will be joined in just a couple moments by the Notorious 187, one of my favorite wrestlers. I've said it time and time again. Homicide will be with us on the show tonight. We'll be talking about Final Battle, Ring of Honor Final Battle 2013, coming to you from the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. New York, baby. And Homicide does have a huge match. It will be December 14th at Final Battle 2013. So we'll be talking to him about that. We'll also be discussing some of his biggest career moments and some very special fan questions that I've got for Homicide. So he'll be with us in just a couple moments. But before we get to the man of the hour, I just want to get some plugs out of the way. Please check us out on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And also, Facebook. We've shot right past 3,000 likes, and I thank everybody for liking the page. So please get to facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. We also have four t-shirts that you can choose from to buy to support the show. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/TWP to help support the show. Here's my co-host. His name is Toph. He's here every week. Even when I'm not here, he's here. So welcome, Toph, to the show. What's going on, Toph? How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Unrelated, just want to send a shout-out to all my peeps in the Midwest that were affected by that bad storm system the other day. Very unusual to have a bunch of twisters and stuff during the fall. So just a shout out to all my peeps, and hope you guys hang in there. You know, bad weather is no joke.
Yeah, I'm with you there, man. The weather in general in this, not just this country, but the entire world has been out of control, man, with the tsunami that just hit the Philippines. It's just been absolutely crazy. It's just nuts, man. So, yeah, our thoughts and prayers are out with everybody out there in the Midwest who are affected. But let's jump right into it. He is the former Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, former TNA X Division Champion, TNA Tag Team Champion. The accolades for this man are crazy. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And I'd like to bring Homicide into the show. Homicide, how you doing tonight, man?
What's up, man? Thank you for having me for your show.
Hey, thank you so much for being on. I've been trying to get you on the show for over a year now, and thanks so much for finally saying yes. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's just kind of funny that I'm watching The Wrestler for the first time and talking to you, and I'm saying to myself, why the hell I'm watching this crappy? I need to change the channel right now. It's just kind of funny that you know, I'm flicking the channels and I'm watching Mickey Rourke, the wrestler, and, you know, it's just amazing to me because I never watched the movie. I heard so many stories about the movie, and I'm just not very a big fan of the movie.
Yeah, man, I've heard a lot of people had mixed reactions about it. As a fan, when I first watched it, I didn't mind it. You know, I enjoyed that they had a movie about professional wrestling and stuff like that, but wrestlers have a different take on it. Can you, since you're talking about it, can you tell us why you don't like the movie?
Well, first of all, it's almost like 95% true story. You know, Mickey Rourke's a character. I see a lot of people who just like him, you know, who wrestle Madison Square Garden and basically party and did drugs and, you know, have the rock and roll life and lost everything, lost the family, money, fame, and just going to little independent shows and watching these gentlemen wear pee bags and doing autograph section. It is sad, you know, and showing a part that Mickey Rourke's character is talking to a drug dealer about getting some steroids or you need some Oxycontin or some trees, I call it weed. You know, to me, it's like, I don't like it. It make us look very bad. I know my little sister was watching the movie, and she was just telling me, this is what you're going through? This is you and your friends in the business? And I'm laughing my ass off because it's like, it's not really like that. Like, I don't go to, like, independent shows and ask for, like, hey, man, do you got some Debo? Because I need to get bigger. Nah, screw that, you know. Like, I'm not an angel, but I'm also wholesome. I'm not a devil, too. But I'm not a big fan of this movie at all because it just showing a lot of secrets out there and it's telling people the wrong story. Like, we look like a bunch of drug addicts and we not. So it's giving the wrong example. Like, I don't know who directed the movie. I mean, it's a good movie, I guess so. But other than that, I just don't like it. You know, it's just giving us a bad example and a bad name for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand your perspective on that because I've heard Stone Cold Steve Austin talk about it pretty much the same light. He hated it. Sean Waltman, Xbox, he also hated it. I heard them talk about it one time. And, pretty much the same reasons that you just stated.
Mm-hmm.
But Ring of Honor actually was featured in that movie towards the end. And I don't know if you got that far, but they played a pretty big part. And you have just recently made your return to Ring of Honor. And you've been kind of in and out of there for the last couple of years and whatnot, man. How's it feel to be back in ROH?
Well, I feel great, man. It's home. I mean, my home is Jersey All Pro. That's my home fed. But my other home is Ring of Honor. And I remember when I came back 3 years ago when I left TNA, I came back with 2 groin injuries and a crab rib, and I feel that was the worst return I ever had in my wrestling career because I was going through neck and injuries. I didn't tell nobody because I was very hard-headed because this is what I wanted. I was in TNA and, you know, like, I didn't like the way it was going with myself and also with the LEX. So to me, it's like if I leave, that means I got freedom. I could do whatever, I want to be a team player and I'm going to go home. So I went back to Ring of Honor, New York City. I might have the most greatest pop of all time in New York City. I felt like Hulk Hogan in 1986, and I'm thankful for the fans. But like I said, man, I just came back very, very fast with nagging injuries. It took me 2 years to heal up a cracked rib and two groin injuries. Now that I return again, I feel like this is my real return. I'm perfect. I'm healed. I'm ready to go, man. I'm like a speed demon. Like, whoever comes up, whoever's my opponent, I just feel bad for themselves because it's like the old school homicide. I'm not saying that I'm going to take out the fork out and do some Abdullah Butcher on Steve Corino or anybody, but I just feel that this is a new era. I got a new character. Everything is new, and I'm loving it right now. I just had a match with the American Wolves. I think they are, you know, on the legends, and I feel like it's David Richards and Eddie Edwards' last match. I really don't know, but it's just kind of funny that I wear a tie because they want me to wear a suit and a tie and kiss ass. So I just told David Richards, here's my tie because you're going to need it in New York in the future, just in case. But I'm just happy where I'm at right now, man. It's a blessing in disguise that I came back with Nirvana, and I'm tearing it up right now.
Yeah, man, it sounded good. It sounded like having fun. On a personal note, a couple of years ago at Ring of Honor, when you made one of your returns, you came back and you confronted Roderick Strong when he won the championship from Tyler Black. And that night, I was actually there, kind of, I was working with the Wrestling Roundtable back then, and I actually interviewed you backstage that night, and it was a really great moment for me, just totally awesome. It was my second interview ever of professional wrestling, so it was really cool talking to you then, and I'm glad to have you back on the show now. So I was just watching the other day your the original Ring of Honor MVP 2003 DVD they did of you, and The Best of Homicide. And there are some classic matches on there. Against Samoa Joe, the aforementioned match with Steve Corino, and a crazy match with Trent Acid. What are your memories of some of those matches from 2003?
Oh, man, when me and Trent Acid, it just felt like I'm a big baseball guy. I love the New York Yankees, and Trent, he loved the Philadelphia Phillies. And it felt like Philly versus New York, and we had that war. And he's like one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time, next to people like Jerry Lynn, Manny Fernandez. And he's like my brother, man. I missed him so much because we had classic wars and we also party afterwards. And I had great, great feuds with Trent Acid. And I'm so happy that I was part of his life and part of a feud making with himself. Same thing with Samoa Joe. I remember the first time me and Samoa Joe met each other. It was like a little club in the Holiday Inn. He wrestled a low-key. It was a very intense battle. Joe had like a broken finger, and I'm just teasing him that you need to stop smacking people because that's what he loves. And I remember the first time I ever wrestled him, it was in Ring of Honor. I forgot what year, but it was in May. It was Do or Die event. And he gave me the muscle buster all over to the top rope, and he defeated me. That's how I knew that I'm going to be his pain in the butt because I'm going to go after him and give him the 100%, and that's what I did. I'm the one who gave him that fire that Samoa Joe needs to be a killer, and I'm the one who gave it to him because it was almost like a receipt. All right, he defeated me our first time. Now I'm going to make your life a living hell and a Ring of Honor. And we had some classic feuds, man, when it comes to, like, all the way to 2003, all the way to, like, TNA days. The same thing with Colt Cabana, with Steve Corino. That's the one thing I'm proud of myself in Ring of Honor. Maybe I'm not a champion. Yes, I'm the world champion. But maybe I had the belt for, like, 3 or 4 months. But the one thing, if you come to Ring of Honor and you want to feud, well, you're going to get against a guy named Homicide who's like 5'8 or 200 pounds. The guy's little, but I'm like Joe Pesci. I don't play around. So when there's a feud, you talk to me because I'm going to make you famous. I'm almost like The Undertaker in Ring of Honor and also Jersey All-Pro. But that's the one thing about myself. I love feuds, you know, and I had so much of a great feud with Trent Acid, Samoa Joe, Steve Corino, Colt Cabana, even Brian Dennison, even CM Punk, who never beat me in Ring of Honor, but I bet he could beat me in the bank account. But that's another story. But I had some classic matches with these guys.
Yeah, man, and I was just thinking about that feud with Colt Cabana because that was one of the feuds that really got me hooked on the Homicide character back in 2006 because you guys just did some brutal stuff to each other, just blood, and I believe you poured Drano down his throat at one point.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Like, that was one thing that I got to apologize again for that, man, because that was real. Everybody think it was a bunch of Kool-Aid or some Jello shots. Nah, man, like, if you see the tapes again, he's the one who brought the fire out of me. Like, he wants me to come out as a killer, and that's the worst mistakes you could do. And he called out my son. You know, my son's name is Nelson, and he called them out. I don't know why, but I told them, I don't know how many months I'm going to have a feud with you, but I'm telling you right now, just like Samoa Joe, I'm going to drive you, like, oh, my God, like, he's going to be the one that's going to apologize. I'll apologize to pray to God that he never, ever, ever want to wrestle me again because I want to make sure that I want to hurt him. And basically, me and Julius Smokes, that's what we did. We put Drain on him. We tried to cut his tongue. We had a Chicago street fight in Chicago that I got busted open because I did a chair riot. If you're a wrestler, you never call out a chair riot because you need a third eye in the back of your head because I got popped and it was really my fault. But me and Colt, man, we had a great feud too, man. But there was one of those things like, Colt, you did a big mistake. Now I really got to hurt you. And right now he's one of the greatest guys in the wrestling business. I could call him himself my friend. If he needs anybody, I'm right there. I got his back. You know, he's another one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time. And he should be on TV right now. It could be in TNA, it could be in Ring of Honor, but definitely in the WWE. He should be next to CM Punk and also H Steel. But you know how politics roll. But when Cabana, he's the man.
Yeah, no question about it. And that feud kind of, it was one of those deals where you're the hated heel, but it kind of turned you babyface over time, like organically and naturally from what I remember. And that led to your big match with Bryan Danielson and that whole thing with CZW and whatnot before that. But that match with Danielson, yes, the Final Battle 2006, there was so much steam heading into that match, and it was such a fantastic moment for you to become ROH World Champion and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about how that moment felt?
Well, first, I want to be in the class with those guys, you know. Like, it's kind of hard for me to be part of the class, like Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Austin Aries, and those guys, because I'm just a thug from Brooklyn, New York, who wear T-shirts and shorts. I look like a basketball player, you know, and sometimes I cannot bring out my technical style. I just got to brawl. So that day means a lot to me when I wrestled Bryan Danielson, who's at that time, he's the best of the world, not CM Punk. Bryan Danielson was the best of the world, and he was one of the best technician wrestlers, he still is. And to me, defeating him in my hometown, that would be like my WrestleMania, my Super Bowl, my World Series. And I remember for 6 months, all I want to do is beat this man. That I even told the book at the time, if I don't get a title shot, if I don't get nothing, I'm leaving. And they had, like, great plans for myself and invest a lot of money on me. But the one thing that I was getting upset, that I was not getting that respect with Bryan Danielson or Mary Goudreau at the time, because he looked at me like I'm just a thug from the streets, like a Brooklyn brawler, while he's from Seattle and eat vegetables and work out like 5 a.m. Myself, I like to smoke, I like to drink, I like to hear music like salsa or hip-hop or some sort of metal. Bryan is different. Bryan feels that I'm not the face of Ring of Honor. Now, remember what I say that, because I think he's going through the same thing in the WWE. So he understands what I'm talking about, that at that time, when I was going to Final Battle, he felt that I was not the face of Ring of Honor. So what he wants to do is cripple me, stretch me out. And he didn't. He fell, because I'm one of the toughest guys who survived. I survived from the streets. I got shot in the leg, and I still wrestle. To me, my heart is bigger than Andre the Giant, rest his soul. But that day, when I beat him and I felt the magic, it felt like I was in Madison Square Garden, where all my peoples, even the people that hated me, I still loved it, because it was something like, wow, not only I beat the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, who is the face of the WWE right now, but I was also the face of Ring of Honor at that time. Of course, some Japanese fat guy came to Ring of Honor and beat me for the bell. So I need a new direction, you know. But that was one of my greatest moments of my career. You know, I wrestled Liger. I wrestled Terry Funk, who's my hero. That must be one of my top three favorite moments of my wrestling career, is defeating Bryan Danielson for that Ring of Honor world title.
No, absolutely. Awesome moment. I remember like it was yesterday. My buddy Red Titus was in the ring celebrating with you. That was pretty cool. I got a fan question from Jamal Reynolds. He wants to know if you felt cheated having to drop the ROH World title so soon to Takeshi Morishima, especially considering how many ROH World title reigns would last so much longer than that.
Well, I feel like I want to become the world champion. I'm not saying that I should have been the one who broke Samoa Joe records, because he had a phenomenal record for 2 years of counting. And I think Bryan Danielson was the second longest reign. I think I was like maybe the third person who had the shortest. Did I feel cheated? If you think about it, it got to take a 300-pound wrestler to defeat me. Not only that, he did his finisher on me. It's called the Saito Suplex. He hit me one time, and I kicked out. He got to hit me two times to beat me. So when I lost, I was thinking about that I felt cheated, that I had the belt for goddamn 3 months. Nah, I didn't feel cheated, because this man who flew over 1,000 miles away, who's from a great organization called NOAA, who's like 350 pounds, who's like 6'2", got to defeat a guy who's only 5'8", who's like about 190 pounds, and got to take 2 moves to beat me. To me, that meant a lot. That meant a lot. Not only that, I broke his nose. So you went to Japan with a bruise, and he told all his boys that some little guy in Homicide, he's the one who did this to me. Yeah, he won the belt, but of course I won the war that day.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. Great. I remember that happening as well. I was kind of upset because I was a big fan of yours, big supporter back then. Still am. But I'm going to bring in co-host, Toph. Toph's got some questions for you tonight. Toph, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Homicide, how you doing tonight, sir?
Hi, my brother.
Yeah, I got some questions for you. Your finisher, the Gringo Killer, that's one of the thickest moves I've ever seen. I remember the very first time I saw you use it, it was like, is he dead? He just looks crazy looking. How did you come up with that finisher? And more importantly, like, was there anyone willing to take the bump for you? Or, you know, take the bump from the move?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know what year, but I think it was like 1998. Me and Loki, we was watching Japanese matches, and I want them to study some matches. And we saw this woman, her name is Megumi Toyota, and she did this move for the first time I've seen it. It looks very devastated. So I wanted to go to Japan X Commissions at the Tiles with Big Japan Pro Wrestling, and I act the green light. And I need a name. I wanted to shout her out, call it the Megumi Driver. But for some reason, you know, a couple of my boys, like Loki and everybody, was telling me, nah, call the Top Killer. And I'm like, why? I'm going to call something that cops going to see me very different. I already got a problem with the name Homicide. Now I'm going to call it the Cop Killer. So after that, I say, screw it. I'm going to call it Cop Killer. If Ice T made millions of dollars doing a body count Cop Killer, I could do it too. So I was doing it. At that time, I was reckless. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of hurt a lot of people with the move, that I got smart enough. I learned how to do the move, you know, protect the person, and I did. And I remember I went to TNA, and Mike Tenae was the commentator, and I remember I did the move for the first time. The eyes just popped open, like, oh, my God, I've never seen it. I mean, I saw the Canadian Destroyer, but I never seen this move. But we can't call it the Cop Killer, so we got to call it something else. So when I did it in TNA, I heard Mike Tenae say, oh, Cop Killer, but he just changed the name to the Gringo Killer. In my mind, I let you joke around. I love my white people, but why in the hell you got to call it Gringo Killer? Meaning, that means I kill white people. Like, no. Like, why? You know, but it's part of the character to give me away. You should call it, but I think it was the funniest thing ever. Not only that, I kind of popped that Mike Tenae helped me with the name. I wish it was a different name, like Toe Tag or something stupid, like Toe 45. I don't know. But Gringo Killer, I'm like, and to this day, people still call me and message me, hey, are you going to do the Gringo Killer tonight? And I'm like, huh? Well, you say, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, I'm going to do it. Sure. So I did kind of hurt a couple of people, and I apologize, but I'm not apologizing to the one that I don't like who deserve it, you know, but other people, like Peter Williams, he's the last person I did on television, and I did hurt him, and I apologize to him. And hopefully he accepted it, you know. And other than that, do I like the move? I don't even like it no more. I like something simple right now, like a sleeper hold. Or maybe I get a glove, like a plastic glove, and it suffocates you. So I don't know, something. You know, people still want to see it, you know. And sometimes I give it to them, but sometimes I don't.
Okay. The second question I have for you was, since you were mentioned the TNA run, I thought the LAX stuff with you, Hernandez, and Conan was great. I mean, it was just gold. The stuff that you guys did was just amazing, you know, tag team heat. But I've always was curious as a fan, was there, like, any particular barriers you guys weren't allowed to pass? Like, was there some, like, was there ever, like, a creative meeting where you or Conan or Hernandez wanted to do, like, a particular thing, and the creative was like, no, you can't do that, it's too edgy or too racy? Was there anything particular that they didn't want you guys to do?
No, I never heard nothing. Conan was the one, he was the leader. I was following him. He's the one that got me the job. When Conan said, I remember one time that we had Billy Williams, he was trying to the American flag, and I'm very surprised they didn't even stop that. And I was saying to myself, you're going to get killed, you know, because that's the one thing. I love America, but, you know, they want to go to the extreme, and I'm very surprised they never stopped us. Since day one, they never came up to us and told us, hey, you're going too far. You cannot be saying that. You can't do that. For myself, yes, because I'm not going to lie. I like to curse a lot, potty mouth, you know, because sometimes I get so intense in the match, it just come out. So what I do is say it in Spanish, but Hector Guerrero, who knows Spanish, told the office, and I needed to calm down. But other than that, nobody came to us and told us, you went too far, you need to stop it. And I'm very surprised about that, because we did a couple of stuff that went too far.
Okay. You mentioned Hector de Guerrero earlier. Chavo Guerrero is currently part of the Impact Wrestling roster. Do you agree with how Impact Wrestling has been using Chavo? Do you think he could be used better? When I first heard Chavo was coming in, I thought he was going to be a heel and, you know, not necessarily, you know, reform the magic of, you know, what you, Conan, and Hernandez did. But, you know, I certainly thought that he was going to be like an X Division heel. But so far he's just sort of been, you know, just sort of there. They teamed with Hernandez, and then they're a good team, of course, but, you know, nowhere near as good as the team that you and Hernandez did. Do you have any opinions on how they're currently using Chavo, or are you familiar with the work that he's been doing lately?
Well, I really don't watch TNA like I used to, so I really don't. Hernandez tells me stories about it. I think Chavo Guerrero should have been like the next Eddie Guerrero, or he become one of the biggest heels in professional wrestling, beat the crap out of Hernandez, telling me the fake Mexican. He got a Texas flag that he likes to come out, rip the Texas flag, and here I come to save the day and beat the crap out of Chavo Guerrero, give him the Three Amigos, and give him the Frog Splash, and make him even more pissed off that you got to come after me. And maybe we can have the LEX versus his own version of the Mexican America. But, you know, that's not going to happen. I wish it did, because I know now it's going to be money. I got faith that that will be money. And a lot of people want to see a war. I know when I came at TNA and I did a promo with Chavo Guerrero, I thought that it's going to be something. But I didn't got a phone call back. So I'm like, okay, it is what it is.
Yes, I remember that segment. I thought it was going to lead to something. I thought it was going to lead to, like, you know, Hernandez choosing between you or Chavo. And I thought that I was hoping that was going to lead to you eventually getting a contract back and it was going to lead somewhere. But unfortunately,
yeah,
it didn't.
Yeah, it's supposed to happen, but I think somebody just gave us the closed door. What was supposed to happen was Chavo was supposed to betray his own partner, and I'd come back and it'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you? You need to go back to your own roots. You need the LEX colors, and Supermax become this monster that he was with LEX back then. But, like, you know, somebody put a stop to it. I really don't know. So, politics.
These are my last questions. Thank you for answering these questions, by the way. The last question I had for you was, do you have an opinion of Sin Cara, who's currently part of the WWE roster? You know, he's a big name in Mexico, but ever since he's come to the, you know, WWE roster, you know, he's just, he hasn't really been able to recreate the same magic. Do you have any opinions on Sin Cara?
Yeah, I really don't get it. I really don't know if that's the original or the, I don't know, but because this man, I've seen him work in Mexico. He is unbelievable. He's supposed to be the next Rey Mysterio Jr. That's supposed to be a match, actually, last year at WrestleMania, Sin Cara versus Rey Mysterio Jr. But I'm guessing that Sin Cara, he's not used to the American style, because he's still on that the Mexican style, the Lucha Libre style. So to me, I'm very confused about that, because Sin Cara, he's a great Lucha Libre guy. Like, he's awesome, but I don't know. Like, he came to America, and I don't know, he got the worst luck. Like, this guy could have been the next Rey Mysterio Jr. I don't know what's going to happen. I really hope that he does good into the American style and see Rey Mysterio versus Sin Cara, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
All right, thank you for the questions. I'm a big fan of your work, Mr. Homicide. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. Great job, Toph. Homicide, man, you mentioned something about politics in TNA, and I kind of noticed immediately when Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff kind of walked into that company, and obviously I'm on the outside looking in, and I'm just reading what these third sheet reporters write and stuff, but if you're actually watching the show, you can kind of tell that something's going on where they're changing stuff around. How was it working with Hulk Hogan during when he came into TNA?
What? Man, I think it was awesome, you know. Like, I really don't know what the true story about. I don't know if he's the man, the guy with the paper and the pen. I don't know if he's everybody. I don't know. But the one thing I can say, man, working with Hulk Hogan, it's awesome. I grew up watching Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is the Babe Ruth of professional wrestling, you know. And I was watching some kind of a DVD yesterday, the NWO, I think the WWE product, and he said a line that he got a microphone and told the fans, if it was not for Hulk Hogan, none of you would be here. It's kind of right. Because back then, he had some great wrestlers like Harley Race, Terry Funk, Dusty Rhodes. But this guy, he put out the map with the sports entertainment. It was global. And working with Hulk Hogan, it was awesome. I mean, he wanted his own vision. This is the way I want. Take out that six-sided ring. You know, we need people who's like over 6'2 and with a six-pack or something like that. I don't know. But the one thing that I do know, and he don't have to tell me, he don't like my look. That plain and simple.
Yeah.
He could say like, oh, brother, I like your look. He did say that. And I'm like, brother, you're lying, but it's okay. You're all Kogi. You know what I mean? But after that stupid cage match on live TV, that kind of destroyed my TNA days. When that happened, I was saying to myself, it's all over for me. And that's when the pride took over. I don't give a damn about nothing. And I remember one show, I think it was in August in Brooklyn, New York, I wrestled at the time Brian Kendrick, Amazing Red, Sanjay Dutt, and I did my suicide dive, and basically Brian Kendrick didn't caught me or I didn't hit him. And that's when I had the two groin injuries. That's when these guys were saying, okay, Homicide's hurt. We really don't need him. And I remember I wrestled Orlando Jordan at Explosion, and I told him, please take care of me, you know, like I'm hurt. And he keeps saying, I'm a shooter, and this and that. That's awesome. God bless you. Like, okay, that's awesome. You're a shooter. And he did a couple of stuff that it was a couple of times that kind of I got hurt, and I got a bandana. It's a weapon, and it's wet, and I smacked him with it, and Dixie Carter was there, and right there, I said to myself, I'm going to get fired in 2 weeks, and boom, Terry Taylor called me, he told me, I'm sorry, we got to let you go, and I took him like, okay, and he was like, are you kidding me? I said, yeah, I just want to know why, and he told me the reason, and then, you know, it is what it is, I just got to, like, move along, move forward, I'm not going to sit down and cry. I had the best years and TNA since 2005, and made what I am right now. You can call it a name, you can call it whatever, but I had the best times in TNA also. So I can't really bash them. I cannot say, good for y'all, they are losing, or they're going to close down. Because that's the one thing, they're not going to close down. They're going through growing pains right now. And I hope they do good, but they need a lot of changes. You know, a lot of wrestling fans, they're not liking the product. I don't know why, because I don't watch it. But I do notice the problems, and I got a lot of friends who's with TNA, and they tell me, there's a lot of problems, but we're going to fix it. And I believe it. They're going to be okay.
I think so, too. I think it's just a matter. I like the growing pains analogy. A lot of people have a lot of doom and gloom over what's going to happen with TNA, but I think growing pains is a good way to look at it. I saw you actually recently. I was at that FWE show out in Brooklyn, and I saw you like sneaking through the back door that night, and you were just chilling with your boys and stuff. I didn't want to bother you because you just look like you were chilling, having a good time. But yeah. I saw you bumped into Jeff Jarrett, man, and you guys kind of embraced and stuff like that. And that was pretty cool. that's the kind of stuff you notice as a mark at these shows. But how's your relationship
it's okay because I'm bumped out for myself.
How's your relationship with Jeff Jarrett? How was that over the years?
I mean, like, we cool. I mean, we see each other. Hey, how you doing? Like, when I was sitting there, I did drink with him. He told me a couple of vices, you know. I hear so much goddamn rumors about he's racist and this and this and that. To me, he's a goddamn genius. That's the one thing I can say about Jeff Jarrett. I'm not kissing his ass. I'm not trying to get my job back or nothing because I'm with the money right now. But that's the one thing about Jeff Jarrett. He is one of the smartest men in the wrestling business. I really don't know what's going on closed doors, and I don't care, you know. But that's the one thing. I do got respect for Jeff Jarrett. He could be down with the Ku Klux Klan. I don't give a damn. He's still a genius, whatever he does, you know. So I was kind of, like, happy because that was the first time that me and him saw eye to eye in 2 years. And when I saw him, I really did thought that, oh, man, he's with Cornette boys and this and that because them boys were Cornette. But he looked in my eyes, and I said a funny joke. Hey, you better hug this your favorite Puerto Rican. He actually hugged me. Hey, what's up? I'll see you real soon. And he walked away with Karen Engel. So it was kind of cool, you know, because I really thought that there was some kind of a vendetta, some kind of a, you know, a nasty taste, but it wasn't, you know. He looked at me, I don't know, because he was in my hometown, he was scared, I don't know, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah, he seemed to have a good attitude that night. I shook his hand, said hello to him and stuff. He just seemed like he was happy to be around wrestling fans and be in that arena, you know. It seemed pretty cool to me. I'm going to bring in one of my boys. He's from Brooklyn as well, and his name's John, JCD DiMicelli. John, man, what's going on, brother? You got some questions for Homicide tonight.
Hey, what's up, dude? Hey, Homicide, how's it going?
What's up,
man? I hopped on when you guys were talking about the impact thing with that that cage match. That's what I wanted to really ask you about, but I heard you get into it, and then everything else that happened with TNA after. So, but have you guys touched on the Ring of Honor run right now?
Like right now, like I'm every time I go to Ring of Honor, I just talk to the bosses and everything. I just want to go slow day by day. By now, we got a big match December 14th. I'm concentrating on that because, you know, I just want to prove to people that, you know, I still got guys in my tech. A lot of people think that, you know, I'm old. I don't know where the hell that can come from because I'm still young. But I just want to prove it to people. When it comes to TNA, you know, to me, like me and Hernandez, we spoke about it. I talked to a couple of guys still. Are you going to go back to TNA? I really don't see it. Right now, I just want to go to the new era of Ring of Honor and, you know, make a name for myself with the new guys. At the past, I was one of the forefathers that made Ring of Honor, and I was back then. Now it's new, and there's a new crowd. And right now I got a new gig. It's called the Outlaws Incorporated. We almost like the movie, like The Purge mixed with The Joker. And I just want to see how that's going to go by in a couple of months. Right now we're on fire. So Ring of Honor is where I'm at right now. And I just, you know, best of luck with the guys at TNA, man. Like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Do I want to go back to TNA? Not now, but you never know in the future.
Yeah, nice. One other quick question. Did you guys know that Davey was going to cut that promo after the match this past weekend?
No.
Or, you know, because Davey put you guys over pretty good.
That really surprised me. I actually went to the back, and I heard Eddie Kingston calling me, and I went to the front, and he cut that promo. I do know that the WWE are looking at them, and he was wearing my tie in the end of the match when he was shaking hands with the corner honor. He wanted to give, you know, my tie back, and I told him, no, you keep it. You're gonna need this when you go to the WWE, because that's a corporation. It's a different ball game, it's a different league in the WWE. So good luck, pal. And I went all the way to the back, and I heard my name, and I was very surprised that Davey cut that promo. That was very, I got respect for Davey. He's a good kid, man. He got a bright future, and I hope he makes it to WWE. The same thing with Eddie Edwards. I'm a big fan of Eddie Edwards. I think he's one of the toughest guys I saw in the ring. First time I saw Eddie Edwards, man, I forgot what show, but it was Ring of Honor and New York City. It was the Ladders and Tables. It was Genetico and Kevin Steen versus the Wolves. And Eddie had a broken arm. And this guy, he finished the match with a broken arm. And I would say, that guy, I like him. I like stuff like that, you know. And they deserve to go to the WWE. I don't know what's going to happen, if they're going to change their characters, but I think it was kind of cool that they're rich and got a microphone and basically put us over, because I was very surprised about that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I read that, so, you know. Oh, cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you. All right, Homicide Man, this is a question I ask every single wrestler I have on the show, and it's about road stories. Like, I love a good road story. I love good ribs. Those stories are just classic, you know. You got any of those for us tonight? Any good road stories to share?
Man, I got, man, the one that's real infamous that everybody talks about that I cannot, like, leave because I was super, super drunk. Yeah, I think it's on YouTube. It was the day I was in L.A. It was my first time in Los Angeles. I think it was PWG. And I remember I was with Samoa Joe, the Havana Pitbulls, Chris Hero, and B-Boy. And Samoa Joe invited me to this place to give us great barbecue food. And he gave me some of those Cali Best. You know what I'm talking about? The Cypress Hills.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it too loud.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I did my little Snoop Dogg, and I got twisted. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I ate, like, 20 wings, 2 milkshakes, 2 hamburgers. The Joe was like, you just calm down. You're eating too much. And I'm like, I can't take this. So, at, like, about 4 hours, I did not went to the bathroom or nothing. I wrestled, it was me and B-Boy versus, at the time, Chris Hero. Yeah, I'm not mistaken, I don't know who his partner at the time, but it got to be Claudio, the King of the Wrestling. This is before King of Wrestling. And I love to run a lot. That's the one thing about myself. I got great cardio. For some reason, my stomach felt like a volcano, and I went to the bathroom and I threw up. So Joe came up to me. Don't worry about it. We're going to party tonight, and you're going to drink a tequila bottle, and that tequila is my weakness. Like, you ever saw the gremlins? After 12, you cannot feed them. You cannot put water on them. Well, after 12, when you give it tequila, I'm like a goddamn gremlin. I'm a crazy demon. So I was with Nozawa at the time, the Japanese wrestler at CM Punk. And I remember it was B-Boy's car. We were supposed to get some tacos, and B-Boy was wasted. So who else who's straight edge and wanted to drive? It was CM Punk. But the problem was the car was stick. He cannot drive stick. So he was driving like about 5 miles to Samoa Joe's house. I'm talking about like he was carrying B-Boy's car, like the muffler, everything. We go to Samoa Joe's house. We keep drinking. Nozawa's like, here, drink. And I'm like, what is it, tequila? Well, first time, okay. Now, mind you, it's 12 o'clock, so I drink the tequila. And he's like, no, you got to eat the worm. Eat the worm. Stop being a pussy, you Puerto Ricans. The Mexicans are hard drinkers than Puerto Ricans. So I'm like, no, I'm doing this for my country. I eat the worm. Worst mistake ever. It felt like acid and like about a case of tequila bottles. So it's about nap time, 4 o'clock in the morning. All of us is drunk. The Havana Pimples, like Rocky Romero, had keys, and he threw it. Samoa Joe, and he took the keys and he fell asleep. So I fell asleep next to CM Punk. All I know, I gotta use the bathroom. So I got up, I took my pants off like a baby, and I went to the POC on Punk. I told him, you're a fake-ass red edge. You're going to drink my urine. Punk just like, yo, D, but they call me D. Yo, D, what are you doing? Go to the bathroom, piss. Like, no, take this urine. I feel like R. Kelly before R. Kelly did all that. So he took me like a little baby with my hips, with my diggly hanging, took me to the bathroom, Samoa Joe's bathroom. He went back to sleep. All I know, I wet the whole goddamn bathroom, the wall, the keys, everything. Joe about to throw up like he was Ultimate Warrior or Papa Shango, like put a spell on him. So he goes to the bathroom, and I hear, like, he busts his ass, like, he's throwing everything. He comes out like, fuck, punk, turn up the fucking sink, man. I got all this wetness all over my body. It wasn't no water. It was urine. I just fell asleep, and I woke up, and Punk was like, you remember last night? I remember he taped it, and he told me about it. I'm like, that's not me, man. That's Rocky Romero doing that. So basically, that's like the stupid, you know, they put a prank on me. I heard it on YouTube and Rob Feinstein. It was terrible, man, because I don't remember. And that was the last time that I drank tequila. When I tell people, don't give me tequila, it's gonna be bad, they give me tequila. And they're going to see something bad afterward. They're be like, I shouldn't give me tequila. But that's like one of those road stories that is going to haunt me till I die.
Oh, dude, that was classic. I was trying to hold back the laughter. That was so funny. Oh, I was cracking up hard over here.
Yeah, actually, see, if I put that on YouTube, man, he even talked like me. So it's like a kind of embarrassment, but it's good.
Yeah, man, it was hilarious. That's great, man. Those are the kind of stories I love to hear. I've gotten some good ones. That might be the best one that we've heard so far. So, All right, let's get into Final Battle, man. Final Battle 2013, and it is the biggest show of the year for Ring of Honor every single year, and you've got a chance to get some ROH gold again under your belt with the ROH Tag Team Championships against Red Dragon. I really don't know why they spell Red Dragon with lowercase R-E, then a capital D, and then Ragged after that in lowercase. It's kind of weird, so I don't know why they do that. But it's a big match, and Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly are good. They're at the top of their game right now, man. Let's hear what you got to say about this big Tag Team Championship match.
Well, the last time I won the world title, it was 2006 in December, New York City, Final Battle, Gears Forward. I'm doing this as a tag team wrestling. Now, it's me and Eddie Kingston versus not only guys who's the future of pro wrestling, but these guys are pretty badass. They call themselves role models, but I know them. They're like legit, we call it hookers. Like, both of them are straight shooters, you know. It's like you go to a bar, you want to fight them, they're going to kick your ass. But that day, they're not going to kick nobody's ass. I'm going to go out there with a vengeance that years ago, I had a party in New York City in 2006, and it's going to happen again. But this time, I'm going to have Eddie Kingston with me, and we're going to have a bigger party that day. That's basically the new era for the Outlaws when it comes to New Year. So Final Battle is like our WrestleMania. It's the last show of the year, and also a big match with us and Red Dragon. So I cannot wait to wrestle those two snowflakes, because it's going to be not only a fight, it's going to be a war, because I'm going out there and basically I'm going to do whatever what I want. So me and the referee, we're going to have a lot of problems, because I'm not going to respect the rules. Maybe Eddie is, because I'm trying to behave myself and do good for the company, for Nigel McGuinness. But for some reason, I don't know if you heard about this, they took my mask. Now they want to be they want to be like these gangsters or whatever you want to call it. They want to make fun of me. Like, they did like a little promo that's kind of cute. That you see both of them dressed like gangsters, saggy pants. To me, they look like two little boys that belong in prison who get raped. And that's what's going to happen at Ring of Honor. Because they're going to get raped that day. I'm not talking about sexual rape. I'm talking about I'm going to punch them right in the face before they can get knocked out. So I cannot wait for that day. And I think people should come December 14th in New York City and buy a ticket, because you are going to see the greatest wrestling show of all time.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Homicide. That was a great way to sum it up and end the interview. Thanks so much for being on tonight, man. I really appreciate it. And we'd love to have you back on sometime in the future. And, recap what's been going on in your career then.
Oh, thank you for having me. I had a blast, brother. You know, I hope I see you again.
Absolutely, man. I'll always follow you on Facebook, brother. That's what I do.
Appreciate it. No, brother, brother. You know me. I'm always here. I think I'm the only wrestler that talks to my fans or anybody, because a lot of people be telling me, why are you the only one? I don't know. Because, you know, it's me. I don't know.
Yeah, man, you're cool as hell, and as such, just kissing your ass, bro. I've talked to, like, a bunch of wrestlers, because I've been doing this Promotion Powerhouse thing for about 18 months, and I've interviewed a bunch of guys and stuff, and like I said before, I'm friends with Red Titus, and he thinks you're fucking awesome, too. So thanks so much for being on the show, bro. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man.
All right, have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, that was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. That was Homicide and Final Battle 2013 from Ring of Honor. It's going to be a great night. Big show. Hammerstein Ballroom, head over there. If you're in the area, definitely go buy a ticket. Tickets are still available right here, right now, or you can buy them at ROHWrestling.com. He summed up his tag team title match. It's going to be Red Dragon, the team of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, defending their tag team championships against Homicide and Eddie Kingston, Outlaw, Inc. Big world championship match. You're going to have the ROH world champion, Adam Cole, defending against Michael Elgin and the self-proclaimed real world champion, Jay Briscoe. Matt Taven defending the TV championship. That's it. They have a TV championship now. Against Tommaso Ciampa. And Kevin Steen versus Mike Bennett in a loser must stop using the pile driver stretcher match. Very interesting stipulation there. Big tag team match with the Young Bucks, who are currently the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions. They take on Adrenaline Rush, that's ACH, and Tadarius Thomas. Those guys are very underrated. If you've never seen ACH and Tadarius Thomas, check them out. I've seen Tadarius Thomas before, but ACH, I've just seen him recently, and they're both really good. And to round out the card, there's going to be an old-fashioned strap match with Mark Briscoe taking on Silas Young. So definitely go out and check ROH Final Battle 2013. We're going to take a short break, real short break, and I'm going to give you the next installment of Greatest Promo Ever. I know I got Will, Toph, and John on the line hanging in there, and I want you guys to listen to this promo. It's a great one. You'll remember it almost immediately. It's a short one, too, but it has a lot of effect on professional wrestling, and a lot of people love it. So, give me a quick two-minute break. I'll be right back with more Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
All right, by virtue of winning the Royal Rumble, we have a brand-new World Wrestling Federation champion as the press watches on. At this time to present the title belt to the new champion, our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt, they're proclaiming the real world champion. I'm going to tell you all, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you can stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWF. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Purpose.
Guys,
the brain. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Let's give a big one. Woo! Woo! I was never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step. Took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
hey, Bobby,
called now the real world heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we told you so.
Okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world, put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I gotta tell you like this, for the Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and the Pipers and the Sticks, now it's Ric Flair, and y'all pay homage to the man. Woo!
I love it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. We hope you have enjoyed your Royal Rumble. For my broadcast colleagues, Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Sean Mooney, Mean Gene Okerlund, saying so long from the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion. What I do. You get the
leg. What's up? This is the Friday Night Delight, FKA John Morrison, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
TLD, what's going on, my man? We're back here live on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's up, TLD?
It's funny that you are talking about the greatest promo that I can remember as a kid, followed up by probably the greatest theme song that has ever went through both your eardrums. How awesome is that? Thank you very much for playing that.
Well, TLD, man, this is the third greatest promo ever we've done on the show. Of course, the first one was that famous Dusty Rhodes promo about hard times. Second one was the Ultimate Warrior drive the plane into a nosedive Hulk Hogan promo. This one was Ric Flair with a tear in my eye promo, and it was fantastic. Always gives me goosebumps. This is your first time joining us for Greatest Promo Ever, so let's hear your thoughts breaking down that famous Ric Flair 1992 Royal Rumble victory promo.
One thing I like about when I relooked at the promo when I got a little bit older, you know, Ric Flair, not knowing who Ric Flair was back in the day, you know, he came in claiming he was the real world champion, and this was basically the way where he's saying, I just backed that up, and not only that, but I want a title that's more important than the title I've been showing. And that's what I loved about that. He's not crying, but he's just basically telling the people he's got that tear in his eye, that it is, like, an amazing moment for him. And he backed up his statement, and that's what, you know, Perfect and Bobby Heenan were basically telling the entire world that, you know, basically he proved everybody wrong. And that's what I loved about that promo is that he went in there. You know, he backed up everything he was saying about being the greatest world champion of all time. He beat some of the greatest wrestlers in that ring. I mean, everyone claims that the 92 Rumble had probably the best workers in the business or the biggest faces in the business of the time. And Ric Flair is the winner of that. And now people are basically going to be shining on Ric Flair, and it was his moment. It was just a great promo. And I think the funniest part where Mean Gene tells someone to put a cigarette out, which I think is, like, just hilarious, you know, watching that back. Just, it has nothing to do with the promo at all, but it's something, whatever, I don't know what prompted him to do that. But I think overall it was just a great moment for Ric Flair, and it was so different from other promos that he's done in the past where he had the Four Horsemen talk about the limo riding. You know, it was a different promo because it's a different Fed, and I just liked it. It just put the WWE title on a new level. You know, since now that Hogan was kind of out of the picture and Ric Flair was going to kind of take the reins as a top heel, holding on to that title. So that's what was great about it. I just think that it was just a great way to back up everything he was trying to tell people the last 3 or 4 months.
Oh, no question about it, man. It was awesome that Bobby Brain Heenan was involved because he was built up with Ric Flair throughout that entire run. He was just by, wasn't even at ringside with him every time, but he was always there putting him over in commentary, and Mr. Perfect as well. They were both involved in that promo. Bobby Heenan saying it was the greatest night of his life and stuff like that really helped put it over to his WWF fans at the time because they've watched Bobby Heenan manage guys like Andre and Mr. Perfect, Rick Rude, guys like that. So that really helps get it over. I'm going to bring in John right now. And, John, break down that promo in your own words, man. How did you think that Ric Flair in 1992, there's a tear in my eye promo came off?
What did it for me looking back on it was really it showed what he thought of that belt versus the WCW belt, and it showed what he thought of being there versus dealing with Jim Herd, you know, that it was the only belt that matters, you know, all that stuff, and it was the greatest moment of his life and his career. So, you know, it was awesome, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another thing. I didn't even mention that. You mentioned that it really signifies that belt at the time, you know, whether you believed it or you didn't, that night Ric Flair made you believe that belt was the most important belt in the industry. Kind of like, you know, I was recently listening to CM Punk promo from Ring of Honor where he finally won the ROH world title, and he proclaimed that belt, you know, the most important championship in all professional wrestling. And I hate calling it a belt, it's a title, but the most important title in all professional wrestling. And he kind of, like, turned heel off of that, but still, he put that belt over first and really added the meaning to the ROH World Championship. And it was cool talking to Homicide about that, too. But, Toast, let's bring you in. Your thoughts on greatest promo ever, number three, Ric Flair from 1992 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I like Flair. I was a big fan of Flair. I like the Heenan and Perfect. 92 is a very underrated year in general in wrestling. A lot of good stuff was going on back then. You know, it was just one of those down periods. Good promo, very star-stacked Rumble. A lot of good guys are in there. As far as talent goes, you could arguably say one of the best Rumbles of all time, if not the best as far as talent goes. You know, great promo. I just didn't like the, you know, I didn't like the aftermath of it, you know. But good promo, though.
Yeah, the only thing I liked about the aftermath was, you know, he had that great match. It should have been Hogan versus Flair, obviously, at WrestleMania. But like Homicide kept saying, politics, man, politics and wrestling. There's always politics no matter what, no matter what year it is, no matter what wrestling company it is. Hell, you know, I was at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Will and I were at Pro Wrestling Syndicate on Saturday night. And if you go and listen to some of their they do a podcast, Two and a Half Wrestlers, and Pat Buck, who's one of the owners of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, he was talking about on his podcast the politics that go on backstage there with some of the wrestlers, you know. So there's politics in professional wrestling on every single level, no matter what the case may be. And that was what hit Ric Flair at that time, you know. His run was pretty much, it was a great run, but the fact that it kind of had a little asterisk next to it because Hogan went through that WrestleMania match with him is kind of... John, you know the story about that, right? What was the deal with that? Why didn't that Ric Flair-Hulk Hogan-WrestleMania match happen?
Hogan was going to legitimately take time off for... I think that's when... Nick was going to be born. And they always thought they had next year. They always thought they had nine to do it. They, you know, no one thought Flair was going to go back to WCW. So it wasn't really a big deal at the time because it made no sense to put the belt on Hogan and then have Hogan take off, you know, for his son being born and not defending the title, not defending the title on house shows, not doing the Flair, you know, Hogan rematches on the road. So everyone just thought, all right, well, we'll do it next year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, the stories I've heard was that they did the house shows were not drawing that well. I've read stories that is that true or a rumor?
No, let me tell you something. I went to the December 91 Madison Square Garden show, and then it was electric. Watching it on Classics on Demand, and when they used to do the Madison Square Garden Classics, it backs it up. And you know what? You want to see Hogan Flair draw. Forget about the December 91 show. Go try to find it on YouTube, the November 91 match, where Flair wins technically for like 30 seconds. I think he pinned Hogan with brass knucks or something, and then but they reversed the decision. Let me tell you something. MSG was so hot for those matches. They drew well. At least here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're talking Madison Square Garden. That's Hogan's freaking. Hogan is one of the guys that helped build that place in the 80s. I mean,
Let me tell you something about MSG, especially in the November 91 match. 50-50 might have been a little too much to say, but let me tell you something. That was not a typical good guy Hogan versus whoever the bad guy was, and the bad guy was getting booed out of the building. Flair had a lot of people popping for him that night. And I'm telling you, go watch it on YouTube. There's Flair pins Hogan. I want to say it's with brass knucks. And the place erupts. And they play music even. You know, they did that thing like for like 35, 40 seconds. You thought Flair was, you know, was winning and whatnot. and the place went nuts for it. And then they reversed it, and the place was even hotter when they reversed it and restarted. And then Hogan wins, I think, by DQ or countout. I'm telling you, it was a lot more split down the line than, you know, you would have thought it would be, being, you know, where they were running the matches.
I believe even that could be another reason why it didn't happen. I know Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, they did a few experiments, and when he was heel, he worked a few matches with Hogan. Well, not a few matches with Hogan. Let me rephrase. There were a few run-ins or segments, altercations, however you want to put it, with Jake and Hogan. You know, the story goes that the fan reaction wasn't what the WWF wanted, and, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, Jake was awesome in his prime, you know. You know, he wasn't even physically fit, but he just had this charisma and this confidence about himself. Fans just loved Jake, but bottom line was a lot of fans were cheering Jake over Hogan. I'm not exactly sure what happened. It was some house show somewhere in the early 90s, but Jake, he did a run-in, like gave Hogan a DDT, and apparently the rumor is that fans popped hard. You know, that wasn't what WWF wanted. They wanted, you know, they were looking for, you know, Hogan to get that strong pop, but that wasn't the case. So, you know, I mean, nowadays I don't think they would care, but, you know, back then, you know, different time.
Absolutely. That's a notorious story as well. Jake the Snake Roberts, I think, talks about that on his DVD a little bit. He goes into detail about what exactly happened there. But that was our greatest promo ever, number 3. Got a brand new one for you next week right here on the show, where we will be live again. And that'll be, I guess, our last show for a little bit. I don't think I'm going to do one that first week, unless somebody else wants to host. Maybe Toe for TLD or John, you guys can host. But I think I'm going to take one more week off in 2 weeks. And really got on a personal note, I'm going to figure out what the future of this show is in about a month or so. We might take a little hiatus from doing the live, you know, two-hour Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio every Tuesday night, just to give me a little bit of, relief from that $40 a month bill for Blog Talk Radio. However, we're not going away. Like, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is not going away. We're going to continue having content. And we're going to do some radio shows every once in a while. What I really want to do is get some real podcast equipment and do this thing the right way, instead of doing, you know, Blog Talk Radio's got a cool software system and stuff. But if we got some real equipment, forget about it. This thing would be off the effing hook. But so we'll see what happens. I'll make some decisions about that. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host and everybody, we're going to announce the second ever Pro Wrestling Powerhouse year-end awards, and we'll be putting these awards up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can get them at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com later tonight and tomorrow morning as well, and they'll be in our official Facebook group, which is a closed group. Still join it at facebook.com/groups/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. So we're going to put those up there as well. So without further ado, here are the official categories for the second PWP year-end awards. We're going to do the same stuff we did last year, but maybe a couple of new ones. We are going to have a couple new ones. So we're going to go Wrestler of the Year, male and female, to make it fair, because, you know, male and female, two different divisions. Tag Team of the Year, male we're going to go with, because female tag teams aren't really a thing anymore. They had them last year with TNA, but just going to go male Tag Team of the Year. Match of the Year, Feud of the Year, Pay-Per-View of the Year, TV Show of the Year, Promotion of the Year. That could be any promotion. Last year we were getting votes from all over the world for Promotion of the Year. So Promotion of the Year, Rookie of the Year. Now, we say rookie, we mean came up to the main roster, made their debut, whether it was with Ring of Honor, TNA, whatever. So Rookie of the Year. I don't care how long they were in NXT for or whatever. Bray Wyatt is going to be a guy to get votes. He counts, okay? He counts. He's a brand-new character, came out in the WWE roster. He counts. So Rookie of the Year. Commentator of the Year, Most Memorable Moment of the Year, Surprise Superstar of the Year. That's always a great one. That's always debated big time. That was a close call last year, if I remember. Champion of the Year, Independent Wrestling Promotion of the Year, and Independent Wrestling Superstar of the Year. And then we're going to do a fun one. We're going to say Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Staff Member of the Year. So all the people that are involved with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, we're going to have a vote to see who's the best, the person you like the most. And it should be cool, man. And I don't care if you vote for me, John, whoever. It's just going to be fun. It'll be a bragging right type deal. And so there you go. There you have it. And we will be posting those all over the place pretty soon, so you can get your votes going. And, of course, me and Will the Thrill TLD, we're going to do another YouTube video giving all the winners. We'll do it around Christmas time or whatever. So same type of deal as last year. So it should be fun. Should be pretty awesome. That's how good a UTLD was.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Always good to do these shows, these video shows. They're always good. They're fun to do. They're fun to edit. And I just have a great time doing them, you know. I mean, as far as from doing pro wrestling now, you know, I always have more fun doing the interviews and doing the editing than I do the wrestling. So, you know, I always have fun doing them. And, yeah, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're in the preliminary stages of working with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. We were at the show on Saturday night and filmed some great footage. I know Hurricane Shane Helms was supposed to join us on the radio show last week, but I went up to him, and he was pretty funny. I said, "Hey, Hurricane, man, this is I'm Jay from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio." And he looks at me dead in the eye and goes, "Man," this is literally a quote, "man, fuck your podcast." And it was so funny. I just laughed. I laughed my ass off, but he was really, really cool, man. Real nice guy. He gave us a great interview on camera, and he agreed to. So maybe you can do this interview to make up for last week. He agreed to come on the show anytime. Just let him know and everything, and he's been accessible on Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot. So I'm going to hit him up soon. Maybe we'll schedule him sometime in December. Come on the show. We can bullshit with him a little bit. And, you know, he was cool as hell, though. He was a really, really cool guy. And he reprised his Sugar Shane Helms role against Chris Hero last Saturday, which was cool to see. But also, TLD, we're going to be working with Pro Wrestling Syndicate in the future, and it's going to be pretty cool, man. Tell the fans a little bit of what we're going to be doing with PWS.
Well, what's great is, you know, Eric has looked at our videos, Kevin has looked at our videos, and they're pretty impressed with what they see. In fact, they think some of our stuff is, you know, a little bit better than what they're doing. And we're going to be kind of coming in and kind of helping out with their recap videos of every show they have. And we're going to be basically brainstorming with Eric sometime in the future. The next big show is February 22nd, which is going to be a huge Royal Rumble-type match with Bret Hart, Colt Cabana. And the idea is simply to capture, you know, people, basically all the wrestlers that are involved in the show, to basically do a promo with me and also basically connect them together with what happens at the event. And we're going to do a recap-style promo to recap the night's events and being able to put it together with music. It's going to be pretty cool. I have already a bunch of ideas in my head, and once we connect with Eric and get some more details down, it should be fun. It should be our first kind of steps of getting into Pro Wrestling Syndicate, do some really good editing, get the fans invested into the show. If they definitely didn't go to the show, it's a great way to kind of get their interest in buying the DVD and getting more social media presence. So we're going to be doing a lot of good stuff with that. I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, I think once we show our skills, you know, with Jay, you know, basically getting the connections and me kind of getting production together, I think Eric's going to have a lot more for us to do, and I'm really hoping that. It's kind of like a dream. It's like I've always wanted to be an editor in pro wrestling, and, you know, I kind of do it now with our BWLWrestling.com. You can see the editing I've done there. And Jay loves the work, so, and Eric's is a fan of the work, and, you know, I'm glad that he sees it, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
Yeah, man, the other owner of PWS, Pat Buck, he's a fan of it, too. I briefly spoke with him last night on Facebook because I was listening to his podcast, and a lot of stuff went on backstage at PWS, Will, that we had no idea was happening. So if you listen to the Pat Buck show at 2.5wrestlers.com.
Oh, I would love to hear that.
Yeah, he spills the beans, so go check that out. But he put our stuff over, too. He said, he goes, "Oh, you're the guys who run around with the camera and do those videos, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Oh, great job. You guys really add to the atmosphere." So we still want to do those videos for sure. And the great thing about it, Will, is, you know how we were talking about kind of getting some quiet space? We're going to have access to the entire rec center in Rahway to do this. So we're going to have access to all the rooms, everything we want to do to get different background settings for these promos. And, John, and so if you'll probably be familiar with what we're talking about. If you remember those old ECW Pulp Fiction video packages That's what we're going to shoot for. Yeah, it's going to be that kind of deal. So, you know, and you remember those, right? Those are pretty classics.
Yep. Yeah. That was, I mean, it's ECW. I love those.
Well, guess what? TLD is bringing a little ECW love to PWS. You get that? That's all three letters. You get it?
Yeah, we got it. We got it, Will. So,
okay. Just making sure.
So that's what's going on with what we're doing on our end. Like I said, regardless of what happens.
And make sure, what's very important, make sure you buy the I Am Legend DVD from Kevin Matthews, because he wants to make sure that it's available for all your season needs, as he would tell you on the video when it's published this week.
Yes, Kevin Matthews, always a class act, always hilarious. We got an exclusive interview with him. He was pretty cool. Go buy his DVD. Cool guy. But that's what's going on with us. Like I said, guys, we're going to keep this radio show going, but we may take a little bit of hiatus. First of all, I got to get something going on. I don't know what's going on in the background with TLD, so I'm going to mute TLD for a minute. I got stuff going on right now, trying to get some full-time awesome employment. I'm working on my certification for personal training, and, we'll take a little hiatus, save a couple bucks, and then come back with a vengeance, even if we just take a month off. Not exactly sure what's going to happen, so, just stay tuned to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. But, let's get back on with the show. We got a two-hour show tonight. We got a lot to talk about with wrestling. Had a great interview with Homicide. Hilarious story. Toph, what do you think about Homicide's story with CM Punk and all those guys?
Well, Homicide reminds me of Samuel Jackson, Pulp Fiction. Cool-ass mother, you know what?
Yeah, dude, that story was hilarious, man. Unbelievable. John, what do you think?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the funniest ones we've had so far. And I got to thank TLD for the road story idea to ask these wrestlers. TLD, what did you think of Homicide's road story tonight?
I loved it. I thought, those are the kind of stories that I like to hear. A lot of them are, they really don't know what to talk about, and they always kind of don't really give us a story. They kind of just say, all the road stories are great, where they really don't get into detail. He got some really good detail of the story, which I love, and those are the kind of things I like to hear. A lot of times they're just like, oh, well, everything was great, but we really don't get a good detailed story, and that was pretty damn good, so enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely, Homicide was cool. Hopefully we'll have him back on in the future right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. But, hey, if you guys want to call the show, if you're listening right now, and you got any topic, anything you want to hear us talk about, please give us a call, 760-888-5749. Once again, 760-888-5749. Call us up, talk to us. We got tons of stuff to talk about, but we can always take your freaking questions as well. So, this is one thing I want to talk about. I'm going to start with Toph on this topic. We were debating this pretty much, it seemed like, all night last night on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group page. Big E Langston is the new Intercontinental Champion. I'm very happy for the guy. Big E Langston, to me, is a guy that's got it. He's got that if factor to him, and I don't see him as just another big bodybuilder guy. I see him as a guy that has a lot of passion for professional wrestling. He's not a guy who, as you could tell by listening to him talk and hearing his stories, he's a guy that is a bodybuilder, but he loves the business. He's a student of the game at the Performance Center, and he's 26 years old, just going to keep getting better and stronger. But I think he's a future world champion. So what are your thoughts on Big E Langston and some of the heat he's getting from certain fans of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse?
Oh, Big E's cool. I've always liked Big E. He's one of the few guys on NXT I keep up with, not just because he's black. I mean, as a black person myself, I always look forward to any, minority, but I'm a big fan of Big E. And, he's actually really funny on Twitter. You've been getting me on getting into Twitter. I do check out some of the superstars on Twitter, and he posts a lot of funny stuff. I remember when he first debuted, there was this funny meme that was going viral. It was like, basically calling him Solberg, like he's a black Goldberg, and he actually tweeted that on his Twitter, and he acknowledged, he acknowledges the IWC and basically trolls people. So he's really funny. And you remember before WrestleMania, they did that really cool stuff on their YouTube, WWE's YouTube channel, where they were just uploading the cool clips of what the athletes do to prepare. And there was this cool clip of Cesaro working out, but Big E, he can lift a lot too. Now, he's really cool, and he's improved in the ring. I mean, he was never bad in the ring. He's fine. Fans are into him. Good theme, good look, good gimmick. Big E's cool. He'll definitely be a world heavyweight champion by this time next year. WWE champion? I don't know. Maybe down the road, maybe 3-4 years, but most definitely he'll be a world heavyweight champion without question this time next year. And John Cena is a huge supporter of Big E. So I think if anything, I think fans are annoyed at Big E simply because, there's a pattern of, big, bulky, black muscle guy, gets a push and then, it doesn't work out. Big Zeke, Bobby Lashley, Ahmed Johnson, it's like a pattern. So, some of these fans, they see Big E and they're like, okay, well, this guy's no different. But he is different. Just got to give him – they haven't given him a chance. They just look at him and they just dismiss him. Zeke wasn't ready. Lashley had other interests. Johnson was over, but he got injured, and, when he came back, it was too late. Rock and Austin were too over. So, I think Big E is great, He's great. I could easily see Mark Henry passing the torch to him when he finally does retire. Big E's cool. I have no issues with Big E. Congrats to him for winning the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, man, me too. I'm all about it. I think I personally think that Big E Langston is a little bit like Bobby Lashley. And now, Bobby Lashley had different interests, but he had a lot of athleticism. The guy could do stuff that a lot of guys his size can't do. Big E Langston, he can move. He's not just one of these bodybuilders that is just kind of walks around and is stiff and everything. This guy's got flexibility. He can get in there and really bump around and do what he's got to do to help get the match over and help get his opponent over, because he worked heel for pretty much a year. And he did some good things to get guys over. He really showed that he's got it, man. I think the guy's got it. And like you said, WWE champion, I don't think it happens until he's in his 30s. I think that title reign, the years of that really young WWE champion, I think that's a little bit behind us at this point. I think they kind of want somebody who's mature, maybe in their 30s at this point in time, have a long run and be the real face of the company. Because if you have that strap, you are the face, you're the guy. So I think he's got it. I think Roman Reigns has got it, but that's me. John, what do you think of Big E Langston and his big IC championship win and his future with WWE?
I have no problem with it from Langston's perspective. I mean, Toph nailed a lot of points with it. I don't even hate it from Axel losing the title, because, I mean, Axel had about a good 4 or 5 month run. The key is going to be, it's not so much what Langston does in the future, because Langston's going to be a star. He's going to be a player. Plus he's got the right guy back, and I'm in Cena. The biggest thing for Langston, in the immediate future, is going to be how long they let him run with the belt. I mean, if he drops this belt anytime before WrestleMania, then it's just another guy with the IC belt. But if they let him run a little with it, then that's just going to add to what he can do. Toph nailed everything. He's good in the ring. He's got good personality. He's got a good look. He's good. I was fine with it.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing. You talk about the possible IC title reign. He could be one of the guys to actually have an IC title reign that kind of goes into a world championship reign. How it used to be you were being set up for the world title if you had the IC title. I think that's a very, very big possibility for Big E Langston. I really do. And this is the thing about me, man, is I'm all about Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Dolph Ziggler and these guys that can work. I'm all about it. I think it's great that these guys can go out there and work their asses off. It's awesome. However, I appreciate these bodybuilders type guys that can just freaking lift a ton, because that isn't easy. People have this I don't know what it is, some kind of complex. They don't get it. They think they stick a needle in their ass and they just grow to monumental size. No, no, you can take all the steroids you want. If I started taking HGH today, I'm not going to grow an inch unless I work my ass off in the gym every day. That's how it is. You got to work hard for that. And Biggie Langston is working very hard to get that body, to get that this push that he has. You know, he's working his ass off. So anybody who disrespects that, who doesn't think, you know, he's got it, I think the dude's got it. I think he's got that drive, determination, and it's only a matter of time before he really cashes in on the biggest victory of his career. And I think Royal Rumble is a pivotal moment. Like, if he's involved in that match, he's the type of guy that can have a big run in the Royal Rumble match this year. TLD, let's kick it to you, man. What are your candid thoughts on Biggie Langston?
Biggie Langston, you know, he's got the look. I think I like the whole idea of him coming out, clapping his hands, old bodybuilding style. He definitely could work, and the fans are getting behind him, you know, so I think he's got a good reign. You know, every time we always get a new Intercontinental Champion, we always think they're going to have a good reign, and it kind of falls a little short. I would say Cody Rhodes was the last one that really made that title relevant when he changed the title to the Classic Belt. Hopefully they'll let him run with the ball on this one, and the main thing is he needs a storyline where he will not get beat. You know, Axel was kind of a stooge, basically, for Paul Heyman and CM Punk. You know, Axel had a good run starting off when he was beating Triple H in all those matches, which was a great idea. Hopefully with Langston, it doesn't happen that way. He has been put in the matches with Randy Orton. Even though he's lost, he's also looked strong, and he shouldn't beat the world champion anyway. You know, so being the Intercontinental Champion, I think it's a good run for him. I think fans need some more. We need more faces that need to look prominent, strong, and I think he's a good showing of that. So I definitely see him being a strong Intercontinental Champion as long as he's given a storyline that can make sense and can make him overall look better and maybe have him ready to be a world title contender within a year, just like John and Tim both agree with.
Yeah, man. And by the way, his bench press max is 575 pounds. That's his one rep max. That is insane. And people talk about that. There's that video that you mentioned, Toph, of him working out at Muscle Beach before SummerSlam. And he's out there, and he's repping out 405 with close grip bench press, meaning he's using like most of his triceps in that lift. He's not really using his entire chest forward. It's more triceps than anything. And he's repping out 405 pounds. This dude is strong. This dude's got it. I'm saying it right now, folks. A future main event, a future high-profile, big main event in WWE. I'm not going to put a timetable on it. Biggie Langston versus Roman Reigns. That's just my prediction right now. I can't tell you when, though. Just can't tell you when. It's just, you know, I can't. But, all right, man. So, continuing on with the show tonight, I don't have a format. I really don't have anything to work off of. So, if anybody's got any questions, comments, you can hit me up on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse, or you can call this show. Call it right now. Give us a buzz, 760-888-5749. So, yeah, Raw Country last night, guys. Raw Country getting some big mixed reviews. It was a kind of, if you look at the card, it was a stacked card. A lot of stuff happened. You had a title change. You had a nice rib on AJ, which is pretty funny. You had this big main event match. You had Ryback versus Big Show, which to me they kind of threw away, and they could have made some money off it, but they threw it away live on Raw. Which a lot of people are saying about that big 12-man tag main event. A lot of people are saying they threw away a pay-per-view match with that. But I'm one of the few that disagrees. I think it's smart that at the pay-per-view, you're utilizing all your guys in two different matches instead of just throwing them all in one match. And I think that is part of the reason why Raw was a little dull and maybe a little boring to some, because all the guys that everybody likes were in one match. So it was saved till the end. So tell us, man, let's hear your overall thoughts on Raw Country last night.
It's pretty obvious. Well, we already know Survivor Series isn't important anymore. It's a pay-per-view. It's not a Big Four. It should be. I mean, in name value, it's a big pay-per-view, but, you know, let's be honest here. It's just another pay-per-view now. I'm not a fan of gimmick shows on a go-home show. your go-home show, your focus, is to put focus on your pay-per-view. And it was a gimmick show that just happened to be the go-home show. Like, they mentioned the Survivor Series, but, you know, I mean, it felt like it was a gimmick. If it was a B-show pay-per-view, I wouldn't care. But, like, for a show that's supposed to be one of your big four, it didn't sit well with me. You know, a lot of stuff happened on the show. You know, you had the cool Randy Orton beatdown on Brad Maddox. You know, you had the Big E becoming Intercontinental Champion. You had that. You had the 12-man tag at the end. So a lot of stuff happened in the show, but it just felt like a lot of filler. You know, it wasn't a bad show, just filler. You know, as far as the 12-man tag goes, I mean, at least we're seeing it, so that's cool. But you got to realize that many fans, they wanted to see the classic Survivor Series elimination thing, and that was just a regular 12-man tag. Elimination matches are really cool. You know, there's the drama. There's the suspense, there's the storytelling, you know, all types of new rivalries and feuds and stuff can happen. And we didn't get that. We just got a regular 12-man tag, which is fine, you know, that's still good. And pretty much like you said, you know, most of the folks that fans cared about were all in one match. So, I mean, the Shield, the Wyatt family, Rhodes, the Rhodes brothers, Goldust, Cody, I mean, yeah, I said them already, CM Punk. Usos, Daniel Bryan, I mean, all the folks people care about were in one match. So it wasn't a bad show. It was fine, but just clearly it didn't feel like a go-home show. It just felt like a gimmick Raw. Remember like in 2009 when they had like all those special guest hosts and like every show was a gimmick? That's what it felt like. It just felt like a gimmick Raw.
Yeah, you know, I get that. Gimmick Raw is kind of weird that they did this country gimmick for it. But my take on the whole, you know, 12-man tag deal, is that this is the match that everybody wanted. So WWE gave it to you on free TV. You don't have to buy the pay-per-view. I know everybody streams, and that's one of the reasons why buy rates are down, because everybody can just stream it and watch it for free or download it the day after like I do, whatever the hell. However, this match, it was, you know, you take six of your best heels, the Shield and the Wyatt, and then you put all your top babyface on the other side. If you're going to do elimination style like that with those guys involved, a lot of guys can have to take pinfalls, a lot of guys can have to lose the match, whatever the case may be. You don't want to have like a 6-0 type deal. Who knows who's going to be the sole survivor? There's a lot of decisions to be made. By breaking it up into two matches and then throwing the real Americans into it and then throwing Mysterio in on pay-per-view, I think it's going to be fun. I think people are going to enjoy the 10-man tag, the traditional Survivor Series at the show this Sunday. I think it's something that people are, in hindsight are going to look back on and say, you know what, not a big deal. I kind of like the fact that we got to see more of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan on pay-per-view because, face it, folks, in these traditional Survivor Series matches, a lot of the times your favorite wrestlers, the guys you want to see in the ring, are on the apron. A lot of times they're on the apron for the majority of the match. So, you know, CM Punk and Bryan now have a 2-on-2 match against Rowan and Harper, and they get to work the whole match, and people are going to be happy. John, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree that the six on six was never going to happen at Survivor Series. You know, so I thought it was really good. And you know what? Go back to the Attitude Era. How many times did you have guys mixed up, and you had some of these big matches? You know, even Nitro in their heyday with the NWO against the Horsemen or the WCW guys, it was fine. It was fun, you know. There's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, doing it on free TV versus pay-per-view, you know, who cares? You got the match. You got a decisive finish, you know. Bray came out at the end, you know. It was fine.
Yeah, and more people get to see it. You know, more people are going to watch Raw every week than who are going to watch Survivor Series. Now, and people are also, not to sidetrack, but people are saying, like, Biggie Langston should have been saved for Survivor Series. Give him that championship at Survivor Series. However, if you do it there, yeah, of course, it's a pay-per-view moment. It's a big show. But on Raw, more people are seeing it live, so you have a bigger audience watching you get that title, and that crowd pop for him. TLD, same question, man. Did you watch Raw yet, or what?
Oh, yeah, I definitely watched Raw.
All right, so what's your take on the whole 12-man tag debacle? A lot of people are complaining that they should have saved it for Survivor Series. What do you think?
Well, those that are complaining are probably the ones that are not going to order the show and stream it live for free, just like you said. So I don't know what they're complaining about, and I don't know who they are, who was complaining about it. I thought the match was very good. Agree with the country idea where it was a go-home show. When I actually watched the show, and I kind of caught Raw halfway through when I first got home, but I realized that they said this Sunday, Survivor Series. I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot. I was thinking more about Raw Country than I was thinking about Survivor Series, because I totally forgot the show was this Sunday. So it's been a kind of a forgotten thought. I don't think they put enough emphasis on the show, you know, itself. But what I think I find the best thing about this is when you saw that main event, it was all tag teams. And that, to me, shows the direction of the company now. With Big Show and Randy Orton being in the middle of the show, not the ending, and they pushed all these stables and tag teams at the end of the show and had the big smosh with Rey Mysterio as a big return, I think it pretty much shows where they're going with the company now. They have put so much emphasis on the tag team wrestling now. They are producing the best matches on the pay-per-views, and I think it's overall a great thing because now the tag team division is really strong right now. It's probably stronger than it's ever been in the last few years, and to have that main event a couple times, it's not only the first time they've made event, but a couple times, I think the tag team division this last year has been very, very strong. Since basically Daniel Bryan and Kane won the belts, it's been a good year of tag team wrestling from WWE, and I'm really happy that they ended on that. You know, and I'm sure at Survivor Series, that five-man Survivor Series tag match will be the hottest match of the night.
Yes, it will be. I agree with you, man. And you know, to all those guys out there, and I'm going to say guys because not a lot of girls watch wrestling. Some do. Some do. I got some friends on Twitter and stuff that watch wrestling. But the thing about it is Daniel Bryan was in the main event again. You know, you say he's getting pulled out of the main event. Just because he's not in the WWE title picture right now, and we've discussed this, they kind of need to take a break from it. Just because he's not in it right now doesn't mean he won't be back in that scene. But he's still working main event matches of Raw in front of the biggest wrestling audience in the country. Like, more people watch Raw than any other wrestling show, so I don't get the complaint. You know, your guy is on top. And that's the way he sees it, I'm sure. You know, so there's nothing to really complain about. I know a lot of people want to see the end of John Cena and Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio. I'll get rid of these guys. But it's not going to happen. These guys are in the primes of their career. John Cena is in his prime. The guy is just somebody who comes back from injury in 2 months when they tell him 6 months because he is an absolute freak of nature. He's in his prime. He's got a lot of years left. So get used to it. And, you know, but I also get it. So we'll see what happens. Now, Rey Mysterio has made his return, which you guys mentioned, and a lot of people are also taking shots at Rey for making his return with these bad knees and what have you. So, TLD, there was I don't know if you saw the Facebook group that we have and a lot of the debate yesterday over Rey Mysterio, but what are your thoughts on Rey Mysterio making his return with all his injuries? A lot of people say he should just hang it up and just quit, but the guy seems to want to go. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the guy is a marketable character on WWE television. He's always great to watch. He's a company guy. He works very hard in the ring, you know, despite his injuries. I mean, everyone's got injuries, you know, just that Ray's been out the last year with personal reasons and bad knees. The guy's been in the wrestling business a long time, and he's a legend in wrestling. He's a legend in luchador style, bringing that to this world. You know, Rey Mysterio, you know, defied a lot of odds. He's the longest man in a Royal Rumble ever. You know, there's a lot of things about Rey Mysterio that's so great, and people bash him on a lot of stuff. And honestly, I just like when I watch the guy perform. You know, I'll never forget when he came in 2002 against Kurt Angle, one of the best SummerSlam matches, probably top 10 with Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle. Just overall, I think Rey Mysterio coming back is great. He's here to be with the young talent. He's not going to be the guy that's going to be going over most of the time, but he's here to help these young guys get over and get and have some great wrestling. He still could work. He did a 619. He still did flips, and he could still do all that. So I honestly didn't see anything wrong with the way he performed last night, but it was great.
Yeah, me too. He looked good to me. It looked like he's in good shape, could move, run around the ring and stuff, you know. And, of course, immediately, as soon as Raw ends, you know, these dirt sheets and stupid copy and paste sites, they all back it and say, oh, Rey Mysterio was seen limping around backstage after his match, or after the match, and, you know, his knee might be hurt again. And the headline was, oh, Rey Mysterio may be injured. Yeah, bullshit. You know, come on, guys. Stop trying to bank off Rey Mysterio's return. Toffman, I know you were one of the people last night who was kind of like, you know, Rey should hang it up. He's a shell of himself, yada, yada. But let's hear your thoughts tonight on the radio, man. What are your thoughts on Rey Mysterio's return?
I'm burnt out on Rey, man. I'm just done with him. I'm burnt out on Rey. I'm a huge Rey fan. I grew up watching. He was my favorite wrestler when I was a kid. I loved him in WCW. I loved him in ECW. I saw many of his matches live in person. He was great. It's sad. So many fans today, they look at him and they think that's how he always was. They don't even know how great he was. Rey in his prime was one of the best, if not the best in the world. And I remember that match with Kurt Angle at SummerSlam. That was a good opener, one of the best openers of all time. You know, Rey's great. You know, I love him. But I'm just done with him. There's nothing more he can do. What's he going to do? Fight the Rio again? What, fight Sin Cara? That's not going to happen because they'll never be cleared at the same time because Sin Cara is so unreliable. Like, what's he going to do? He's won all the titles. What's he going to win the Rumble? What can he do? There's nothing left. There's nothing left. There's no one for him to pass the torch to. They're not pushing Unico. I wish they would. Unico's cool, but they're not using him. I mean, he's had a few dark matches, but I haven't seen him on, like, Raw in a while. I mean, I have no interest in Rey. Like, I'm just done with him. I'm just done with him. I've seen him in ECW. I've seen him in WCW. I've seen him in WWE. I've watched him. You know, I'm a huge Rey fan, so don't think this is, like, hate. I'm just done with him. There's just no more he can do. There's nothing he can do that I just see could contribute. Like, he'll put out a good match, you know, have a good match with the Shield, have a good match with the Wyatts. Like, that's great. But what can he really do to, like, push the needle forward? Like, there's no one left. They don't have a new Latino star. They're real stale. He can't win any more titles. There's just nothing left. I'm just burnt out for Rey. I have no interest in him. None.
Well, yeah, I get to your point, and it does make some sense. He's not, definitely not the guy he used to be, but, you know, at late 30s or whatever he is right now, most wrestlers aren't, you know, and he's 38 years old. He's had a lot of injuries, kind of a small dude, whatever. But he's the type of guy that you put on the show. He's going to sell merchandise. He's gonna draw those kids, man. Those kids are so crucial to have a guy that they can kind of relate to, and he's always been great with them. You know, he goes right up to them when he comes down the aisle, and a lot of wrestlers don't do that anymore. A lot of wrestlers, when they come down the aisle, they don't do anything with the fans. They don't slap their hands. They don't go up to them. I don't know if you guys noticed, even Cena just walks right down the aisle and doesn't even acknowledge the fans to the left or to the right of them because they're so worried about working the camera. But Rey Mysterio has been the guy to always go up to the fans over there, and a lot of people don't do that. So I think that will be an added addition to the show that's going to kind of help. And also, there are so many guys on the roster right now that are young, up and coming, that he can work with and really help get over. He doesn't always have to fly around the ring like a maniac. Of course, he's going to have to tone down his style. Most wrestlers do when they get a little bit older and can't do the things they used to. So he'll tone it down a little bit. But you bet your ass, like, if he wants to go, he's going to go. He's got to be a proud guy. You know, I don't know him. I've never met him, never talked to him. But I'm sure he's a pretty proud guy. I'm sure he's, you know, got kids that he's got to send to college and stuff like that. So I'm sure making some money isn't bad for him either. So as far as the fans that don't want to see him, you know, hey, put up with it for a couple more years, and I'm sure he'll be around for another year or two, have a couple big matches. Hopefully he stays healthy. That's all I can wish for Mysterio, that he stays healthy and can be there for you know, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and so on and so forth, because the guy, believe it or not, even though he's had injuries, he's got a lot to give. So what do you think, TLD, man? You think I'm right? You think Rey Mysterio is going to be able to help get some of these young up-and-coming stars over?
Yeah, I think he can. If he can work a good feud, you know, at least to go into WrestleMania with, I think he could definitely pull off something pretty well. You know, it's hard to say. We've had a lot of sporadic times with Rey Mysterio this last couple of years. The last time we really remember a feud was with Del Rio, and that was really it, you know, which was a great feud for him. I always think those two could always have a feud all the time. I don't mind. I think there's so much dynamic between two Mexican stars fighting each other at WrestleMania. To me, Del Rio and Rey Mysterio, even though they've had matches, you know, I think one at WrestleMania would be
the best
thing for both of them. I think it would be a great you know, storyline, just to say both guys are from Mexico, both guys are big Mexican stars, bring up their past, and, man, it would just be a great – to me, that would be enough for me for a WrestleMania match to have those two fight. So I don't mind him fighting Del Rio again, you know, but try to bring up something from their Mexican heritage or what they used to be down in the Mexico area, and boy, you'll bring those people there. You know, they're going to be down in they're going to be for WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans, not too far from Texas, and not too far from it. You know, you might have a large audience come in and really be invested in it.
Yeah, I agree with it. I mean, Del Rio and Rey Mysterio have had a lot of matches. Don't get me wrong. They've been fighting. When Del Rio came into the company, that was his first feud, and they fought, like, numerous times over that. But they haven't had a match in a long time, and I'm not against them working together. I think, you know, with Del Rio, he can take Mysterio's moves, but he can also work a slower pace to help Rey, and it could be a good route to go. But, you know, we got about 20 minutes left, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to get a little – 20 minutes? How much time? Long Talk Radio is telling me 20 minutes, but I got to look at another – yeah, so about 15 minutes left. I'm getting a little burnt out, getting a little tired, want to get some stuff done tonight on the website and whatnot. So we're going to wrap this show up, and, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about – next week we're going to talk about what happened at Survivor Series, obviously, and I'm going to try to solidify some kind of guest. I don't have any guests next week. I'm not going to bother Hurricane this coming week. I'm going to get in touch with him this week, hopefully schedule it for the future. So as far as guests are concerned, I got nobody lined up, but I'm going to try to get one. I know you guys like the interviews, so we'll try to keep them going. Homicide was great tonight. I'd like to thank him for finally coming on the show. I've asked him literally, like, this is probably like the fifth time I've asked him, and every time he's like, nah, man, nah, I'm not really doing interviews right now. I let you know when I do interviews. And then I saw him do one, so I said, Homicide, you're doing interviews. Come on the show. And he was like, nah, man, you know, I'm busy right now. And finally he's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm down. So it's great talking to Homicide, man. Class act, one of my favorite wrestlers. Some great stories. So if you're listening to it live right now, listen to us live, go back and listen to Homicide on the show. I believe TNA has a – Toph, what's going on with TNA this week? They got anything scheduled? Is it their Turning Point show this week?
Yeah, Turning Point is this Thursday. This is going to be in first show back in, let's rephrase here. This is not the Impact Zone. It's a different studio they're going to be returning to. From what I understand, it's a smaller venue, but it has better audio and better seating. So we'll have to see how it comes off on television. But Turning Point is going to be like their special show this Thursday at you'll be seeing Bully Ray against Mr. Anderson. If Mr. Anderson wins, the Aces and Eights is done. But if Bully Ray wins and Mr. Anderson is gone for TNA for good, the tournament to determine the next champion will continue. I believe it's going to be Samoa Joe and Magnus, I think, in a Falls Count Anywhere match, which is basically a street fight, and James Storm against Bobby Roode, I believe, in a bull rope match of some kind. So there's probably some other things confirmed as well. But I'm going to watch just basically to see if Aces and Ace is going to end, because that was a good swerve they did the other week. But I think it's time to put that group to an end. So I'm just going to watch just for that.
Yeah, and I just saw, I was just reading some news here, and that Impact, Impact 365 deal they're doing now, which I think is a pretty cool gimmick. I think it's smart to kind of get more social media involved in a video type way. It's kind of what WWE tried to do with Tout, but utilizing YouTube is better because it's a lot easier and stuff like that. But Sharkboy is announced for that show. Sharkboy will be on that show making his return to TNA. I always like Sharkboy, man. That guy's awesome. I tried to reach out to him to be on this show here, but of course he's one of those guys that just doesn't like to respond. Just give me a no, guys. Just if you don't want to do my show, if you don't want to do our show, that's fine. Just say, no, thank you. I'm not doing interviews right now. Whatever. Don't ignore me. That's Bush League. TLD, man, final thoughts tonight. I know you didn't hear the whole interview with Homicide, but final thoughts of tonight's show and what we have going on in the future with Brawlers and Power Out.
Well, you know, we have our annual, finally, be coming back and doing the post-show for Survivor Series this Sunday coming up. So I'm very happy to finally get some radio time. Finally going to talk some real good recap time of Survivor Series. So if you're going to be tuning into radio on Sunday evening after Survivor Series, 11 o'clock, I will be hosting a one-hour post-show. So if anybody would like to call in and talk about Survivor Series, that'd be a great time to do it. Also, we will be hosting the final numbers for the All-Stars. That's right. If those forgot about it, now you remember it. It's the PWP All-Stars. I will reveal the final tallies of that show, but I think it's pretty obvious on who's winning. Right, Jeff?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I knew I was going to win as soon as I drafted that team. I knew I was going to win.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy for you, Jay. You get nothing out of that except for bragging rights. But overall, you know, I think I'm looking forward to a couple of new things with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse coming up in the next couple of months. And awesome show tonight, as always. I'm glad I'm in Bell and Volleyball, and now you're not going to have the show anymore. So thank you very much, Jay, for that. I appreciate that.
Well, that remains to be seen, man. It's I'm still going to think about it, bro, because I got to say the problem was, like, Blog Talk Radio, and I can talk about them for an hour. I could do a whole, like, two-hour show on my own talking about Blog Talk Radio and how they kind of do their stuff on the site. And the thing about Blog Talk Radio is they gave us a lot of advertising and stuff early on this year. Like, we were getting tons of listens, tons of views. The show was posted up all over the site. But now they do things a little bit differently. If you look at the main page of blogtalkradio.com, there are just so many shows listed on that main page. It's unbelievable. Whereas before, there might have been like 15 shows, maybe 10, 15 shows, and there was always that possibility that Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio was one of those 10, 15 shows listed on the main page. So when we had a big show that we would submit for featured status, and they would put it up there, and people go to blogtalkradio.com, there was a lot of people that would click and check it out. And the more clicks to the show, obviously the more ad revenue that comes in to help pay this bill. And the way it works is if 50,000 people listen to Blog Talk Radio or show on Blog Talk Radio, hell, it's pretty damn good. But in reality, most of the time, that does not happen. So with the new way they're doing the site, our stuff gets buried a lot quicker. It gets it's not like blasted up front like the people that pay. The people on that site, Will and Toph, they pay $250 a month to have their shows. There are people that do that. And I'm nowhere near that. I can't do that. That's my car payment, you know? So that's the thing. I might just take a little bit of relief from that $40 a month bill unless I can find a way to pay it, unless I can get, like, you know, some funds raised through advertising revenue on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, through T-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP, you know? So that's the only way to go at this point. And we could still, like do shows or whatever using the free account, which is, like, you get like 30 minutes, and I think it's like max 30 minutes live between, and it's not prime time hours. It's like between the hours of 11 a.m. and like 6 p.m. or something like that. We can still do that, but I don't know if I want to. And we'll see what happens. I got to think about it. Got to mull it over, kind of look at the book, see what's going on here on my end. So to say it's over, it ain't over. It's just a thought.
Yeah, I understand that, Jay. You know, we can always do shows, even if they're not live. Remember on iTunes, you could always get the shows. So even if you don't watch it live, there's always hit that subscribe button on iTunes. You can get our show on there. Because actually, that's how I listen to the show. I actually love downloading the show right to my iTunes, especially when I can't watch it or listen to it, because you don't watch radio, you listen to radio. And that's what, you know, so that's how I listen to our show every time. And I love it. So, you know, use iTunes. iTunes is a great way to get our show. And can we please surpass all the other shows that are just, like, not active anymore? Please?
Well, that's the thing, nice man. It's tough to get people to listen on iTunes. It's just tough. You know, we got to blast that link a little bit more all over the place so people actually subscribe on iTunes. And you can also use the Stitcher Radio app. You know, if you download the Stitcher Radio app, we're there, too. You can listen there on Stitcher Radio. Toph, man, any final comments tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio? Toph, you there? Toph?
I'm here. How much time do we have left, Jay?
Not that much time. You can go ahead. What do you got?
I just had like a little short little thing. I was just going to wrap up real quick.
Sure. Go for it.
I just wanted to say one thing real quick. Impact for me was 50-50. Last week, Aries Angle was a good match. I was disappointed because they had never had a match before on TV. They could have built it up much better, could have had a little bit more hype. You know, but it was really just another match. It was a submission match. The majority of the story was on Rude and Angle, and Aries was just sort of there. You know, Aries just sort of got the side note treatment. I wasn't a fan of that. I think that Aries Angle could be, you know, a big draw for TNA when booked under the right, you know, circumstances. The match was okay. I didn't agree with the finish. You know, basically Angle kept putting him in the ankle lock, and Aries kept countering. And then finally Angle makes him tap with the crossface, which is Rude's finisher, which is okay because, you know, it builds to Angle Rude. But what kind of annoys me is that Aries fought Rude several times, and he's escaped from the crossface. Yet when Angle does it, Aries taps. I just found that to be a very anticlimactic ending. So that was the 50% I didn't like. The 50% I did like, props to TNA for the AJ Styles thing. You know, unlike what WWE did with CM Punk, AJ is actually defending the title elsewhere. He's defended the title in AAA against LMCS. He's also defended the TNA title against a Japanese wrestler whose name I can't pronounce properly, so I apologize for butchering it. It's Seiya Sandow or something like that. You can see the clips on Impact Wrestling YouTube. Pretty cool. And what's really cool about it is, like, during the commercial breaks, like, you remember, like, back when NWO was around, it would be like the following announcement was paid for by the NWO? Because, like, in storyline, kayfabe, NWO wasn't part of WCW. There's like a message that says the following message is brought to you by the friends of AJ Styles, which makes sense because AJ is now part of TNA. Therefore, it would make no sense for TNA to promote him on live television. So, you know, TNA showed a bunch of these cool clips of AJ in Japan and in Mexico. Really, really cool to see, you know, TNA doing, you know, cross promotion. So, you know, that's cool. Props to TNA, props to AJ. So 50-50, that's all I got. See you guys next week. And don't get shot over a PS4. It's not worth it, especially if it doesn't work. That's all I got.
Thanks, Sophie. I'm not buying mine for Black Friday. Next year I'm going to buy it. 2015 or 2014, I'm going to buy that Black Friday. Hopefully it's on sale by then. And, yeah, I can wait a year, man. My PS3 is fine. Who needs PS4 right now? Ain't nobody got time for that. But,
I got time for that.
So, yeah, thanks for joining me, Toph and TLD. Thanks so much for being on the show, as always. And thanks once again to Homicide, man. It was definitely awesome.
Anybody got time for that?
There it
That's
is.
That's right.
It was definitely awesome having Homicide with us. And, you know, just a great dude. And make sure you check out Ring of Honor Final Battle 2013, Hammerstein Ballroom this coming, December 14th. Hammerstein Ballroom, and I've been to a bunch of Final Battle shows. It's their biggest show of the year. So thanks, Homicide. Thanks again, everybody. Thanks to John and everyone who listened tonight. I do appreciate it. And please check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Go buy a T-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP and follow me on Twitter at PWPowerhouse. Follow TLD at TLD Wrestling and visit TLDWrestling.com. So thanks a lot for joining us, guys, and keep it real.
Federation champion as the press watches on at this time to present the title belt to the new champion, our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt to proclaim me the real world champion, I'm going to tell y'all with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWF. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys,
the
brain.
Woo! 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 Let's give a big one! Woo! Woo! You did it! I was
never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step, took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
hey,
and
Bobby,
he's called now the real world heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we told you so.
Okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world, put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I got to tell you like this. For the Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and the Pipers and the Sids, now it's Ric Flair. And y'all pay homage to the man. I love it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. We hope you have enjoyed your Royal Rumble. For my broadcast colleagues, Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Sean Mooney, Mean Gene Okerlund, saying so long from the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York.